Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
John Landecker welcoming Dr. Jeffrey Coben from Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, the chief medical officer there. Thanks for coming on the show and taking time tonight, Doctor.
My pleasure, John. Good evening to you and all our listeners.
Yes. Okay. You might have heard that there's some news going around.
I heard a rumor today. Yeah. I heard a rumor.
Yeah. Just a little bit. So where do I start? Gosh. The FDA grants full approval to the Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine. Am I correct in that?
You are correct. We've been waiting for this. It's a wonderful day.
Now, what does that mean?
So up until now, Pfizer and its partner, BioNTech, had what's called emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration to allow it to provide COVID vaccine in the United States.
Okay.
So the first step is emergency use. We were obviously in an emergency. We're in the middle of a pandemic. But what the company wants, what Pfizer really wants, is the final approval, which is formal approval where the FDA says we have enough information about your product to be able to say it's safe and effective, and it now may be marketed as a usual vaccine. And that's what happened today. So this is a very big deal for Pfizer. And frankly, John, it's a big deal for all of us.
So they have received the formal final approval from the FDA, and they can go forward and market and advertise and do whatever they want as far as selling this as a viable COVID vaccine, right?
Correct.
All right.
And the consumer, us, should feel really good that not only is it effective, but it's also safe.
What about the other vaccine, the Moderna?
Yeah, so Moderna is in the process of finishing gathering its data that it will then submit to FDA to go through the same process. These applications are gigantic. Get a load of this. I read that Pfizer's application was over 350,000 pages. Think about that. 350,000 pages.
Who has time to read that?
And all kinds of information. Yeah, yeah. So the scientists and statisticians at FDA had to go through all that.
What? 350,000 pages?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
This is a major, major undertaking to go ahead and apply for the full approval like Pfizer just did.
What would they have in those 350,000 pages? I mean, obviously, they would have the result of some research, but there's got to be a lot going on there for 350,000 pages. I mean, do they break?
Yeah. It really shows the level of detail demanded by FDA to a pharmaceutical company when the pharmaceutical company wants to move for full approval like this.
So, looking back a bit. Now, the Pfizer vaccine was one shot, right?
No, Pfizer was two, separated by 3 weeks.
What was the one shot? I'm trying to remember.
One shot's Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson. So they've sort of fallen to the wayside then. Johnson & Johnson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Johnson & Johnson's doing the same thing Moderna is doing
gathering
more data.
Gotcha. So, initially, it was Pfizer and Moderna, and then Johnson & Johnson. Am I right in that chronological order?
Exactly. And that's how we're going to see these applications for full approval.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go in the same way. The next one will be Moderna. I think we'll see that over the next few weeks. And then after that, it will be Johnson & Johnson.
And as this is going on, the Delta variant is active, and there's this discussion of getting a booster shot, and I'm very confused as to when and who should get this booster, if at all.
Yeah, so already the recommendation is individuals who are immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. So, Jen, that would be people who are undergoing active treatment for cancer. There's certain kinds of chronic blood disorders. There's a list of these kinds of things. Patients who fall into those categories should already be getting a booster now. And indeed, that's happening because these folks absolutely need the booster to increase the amount of antibody they have and the immunity that they have against Delta and the COVID virus. So that's happening right now. The next thing that we're going to see sometime in September is there's going to be a recommendation that older people, here in the United States, I suspect it will probably be over the age of 65, mm-hmm. also get the booster, because we know people who are fully vaccinated who are over the age of 65 with each subsequent month after they were fully vaccinated, their immunity is waning a bit. Mm. So they're going to be getting additional boosters, and then also healthcare providers. So a healthcare provider like me, John, we were the first people to get vaccinated together with the older folks, say, in a nursing home.
Right.
I got my second injection back on January 7th. So very right. quickly, that's going to be 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. So we will also be put in a position, I believe, in September where we can go get a booster shot, which will be a good thing. And then that process will roll out to the more general population.
If you have a question about any of this, and I imagine some people do, feel free to give us a call at 312-981-7200, and I'd be more than happy to take your call. We're with Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. So the initial vaccination for those who got the initial shot, that at the time only had a certain time span for its effectiveness?
Yeah, so John, it's interesting. We really didn't know, right? It was the first time that vaccine was ever used. Mm. So one of the questions that was asked early on is how long will this vaccine be effective?
Right.
And the only way to know was to wait, and that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. And it seems that after about 6 months, there is some decrease in the effectiveness. Now, effectiveness against what? Getting infected with COVID. So what used to be about a 95% effectiveness with the Pfizer mm-hmm. to keep a fully immunized person from getting infected can actually drop into the 60s and maybe even a little bit less over a period of a few months, 6 to 8 months. Now, that's to get infected. There's still really good news here. Pfizer, the Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, they're all still very effective against the most important thing, John, and that's to keep us from getting ill.
Right.
That's what we don't want, right? To get very ill, to have to be hospitalized, God forbid, to die.
Right.
And these vaccines are keeping that from happening.
We're going to take a break and take some calls at 312-981-7200. Let's go to Janet. You're on WGN.
Hello.
Hi.
So here's my question. I mm-hmm. Have had both of my COVID shots. I am 70 years old. I have a husband in a nursing home who's had his COVID shots. He is now on hospice. Would I be a candidate to want to get the booster sooner than later because of the immediacy of him being on hospice and me being in with him, and probably will be in with him more and more as time goes on? Or would I need to wait my turn? I'm a diabetic, so I know that I'm immunocompromised, but not the categories that the doctor explained. earlier.
When were you fully vaccinated? When did you receive your second shot?
Middle of April.
So you're coming up on 5 months. You know, I would say with your husband being in a nursing home on hospice and you're going to want to be there, I think when we get into September, when you get to be, we're getting closer to 6 months, it would be appropriate for you to get the booster.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. 312-981-7200. I believe we have Ed on the line. Ed?
No, Carl.
Carl. Okay. Carl, hello. Hi, Jim.
I was thinking about Ed. I'm sorry. Hey, John. Dr. Copeland. I'm glad we have Dr. Copeland instead of Dr. Zorba, number one. but seriously, Dr. Copeland, I got my second Moderna. I think it was on Good Friday. Any speculation as to the FDA approval on Moderna?
Yeah, so the full approval on Moderna, I suspect, Carl, we'll see in about a month. I think it'll take about that long, 4 to 6 weeks on the outside, to have their submission completed and then have the scientists and statisticians at FDA do their job.
Kevin, hello, you're on WGN.
Hi, John and Doctor.
Hi,
Doctor. Just wondering real fast, with the Delta variant and everybody that's hospitalized, you hear that they never were vaccinated. Are they keeping track of those that are hospitalized that had it naturally, COVID naturally, but didn't get the vaccine? And if so, how many are those?
Yeah, so your question is of people who have not been vaccinated but did have COVID and have recovered from COVID, how many of those folks are we actually seeing in the hospital now? Did I understand that correct? Is that correct?
Yes, sir, with this new Delta variant.
Yeah, nobody's keeping those data to my knowledge. Okay. It's not like we can look on the CDC website and be able to see that. There is no question that somebody who has natural immunity from having recovered from a COVID infection has immunity. Uh-huh. I mean, we know that, and it's good immunity, too. What we also know is a combination of natural immunity and full vaccination with any one of the three available vaccines will put that person in a fantastic position. Those folks have great antibodies. They have wonderful what we call immunological memory. So my recommendation to somebody who has recovered from COVID but has not yet gotten vaccinated, go ahead and get yourself vaccinated. You're going to be in a wonderful position that no matter how much longer we're in the middle of this pandemic, you're going to be very well protected.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Shall I attempt a name? And okay, we are matching finally. Susan, hello. You're on WGN.
Hi. I have a question. I went to CVS on Friday and had what they call the third vaccine. My second vaccine was in March, and the pharmacist told me that that was not considered a booster. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I'm 64. Do I also have to get a booster?
No, you'll be good now with the third vaccine. It's really a semantics issue more than anything else, Susan. Because of your diabetes, it does put you at risk from COVID and having a more significant infection. So think of the third vaccine as more fully vaccinating you, but you're going to be good to go now for a number of months. You don't have to worry about the September boosters. Think about what you just got, putting you in a great position going into the fall and winter.
All right, thanks for calling,
great.
Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Carol. Carol, you're on WGN.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. Doctor,
sure.
I am 77 with multiple myeloma, and I am in very good partial remission, but I am, of course, immune compromised. I was fully vaxxed as of April 3rd, And when I asked my oncologist a week ago about the booster, he didn't seem real, you know, excited about it. He said he wanted to wait until to see what the CDC said or approved. Has the CDC approved it?
No, not yet. Not yet. So what we heard was from the Biden administration last week that we should be looking for these third vaccines, the boosters, in September. Who we have not heard from, and this is what your oncologist is saying, we haven't heard yet from the CDC advisory panel. This is a group of outside experts that provide advice to CDC for the type of guidance that CDC will then make to the country. So I think you're in good shape to wait. There's no hurry. You're still very well vaccinated. It's a prudent decision by your doctor, by your oncologist. Let's wait until we know more. Let's see what some of the experts in vaccinology have to say, and then there'll be a recommendation for you.
God bless you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for calling.
You take good care.
We're close to running out of time. Let's go to Sherry. Hello, Sherry. You're on WGN.
Hey, how are you, John? And hi, Dr. Jeff.
Hello.
Okay, I have like three questions, but they're important. My first one is, they went through the symptoms originally before the vaccines came out. And over the news, I heard, I don't know, some sports guy had gotten a breakthrough infection or tested positive. I don't know if there's a difference, but it said he had a sore throat and a headache. I don't remember those as being original symptoms. I remember weakness and nausea. And with the Delta variant, are the symptoms any different? Like, is that why the guy had a sore throat and a headache? Or can you just review the symptoms and if you know there's different symptoms for the new one? Because they always said everybody reacted differently.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah. We got about a minute. So, doctor, can you address that initial question?
I can. So, the predominant strain right now in the United States is Delta. And what we're seeing more and more in people who are vaccinated is that people who have breakthrough infections with Delta have cold-like symptoms. So, yeah, sore throats, sniffles, a little bit of cough, the kinds of things we would see with a cold. That seems to be the most common symptoms that we're seeing now.
Great.
Okay. Now, I have always coughed in the morning, and I wonder if, you know, with the weather and everything, and then all that smog or dust and burning fires that came here, would you cough like during the day like you do with a cold, or is it just like temporary once a day in the morning when you get up off the bed?
It would be more persistent during the course of the day, not that kind of morning congestion that then goes away.
All right. Thank you for everybody for calling. Especially thanks to you, Dr. Copen, for providing vital information for everyone on an ongoing situation.